Let me share with you a story. In the late 1980s, the American Desert Southwest was undergoing one of the worst droughts in history. The rain had stopped in the early part of the year, and there was so little rain that the Rio Grande River, that normally originates in southern Colorado, dried up. And we didn't even begin until it got to the Red River confluence in northern New Mexico. Ski areas never opened during some of these years because there wasn't enough snow. And river rafting stopped. Fishing was down. The fish had to go somewhere else. They were migrating to places where there was more water. Well, I was living in northern New Mexico, spending a lot of time researching the indigenous traditions of North America. And a friend of mine met me for lunch, and we were having this conversation of the relationship between prayer and weather patterns. And in his traditions, the way he was raised, the way he was brought up, is that human emotion plays a large role in what happens with the weather in any particular geographic location. From his perspective, we were going through a cleansing, a purification. Some called it a tribulation at that time. It was a purification. And I said, are you suggesting to me then that through a change in emotion, it would have any effect on weather patterns whatsoever? And he said, you bet. Would you like to see? And that led us to a discussion and eventually to a little drive up into a valley in the midst of two mountain ranges. And we walked what to me seemed like aimlessly. He obviously knew precisely where he was going, through the sage and through the brush, through the tamisa. And we came upon a stone formation. It was an old medicine wheel that he said had been in this field for many generations. He says, we're not even sure who built it. It's always been here. Our ancestors placed it here. And I said, well, why are we here today? And he said, I'll use this medicine wheel as a focus. And it didn't have to have it. It's kind of like a tarot deck. It simply provides a focus for an inner knowing. And today, he said, the focus will be on rain in this part of the world. And I had an expectation. When I heard him say this, I expected I was going to see a dance, a ritual, maybe some sage burning, some incense, or something like that. And I stood back and I prepared to watch, and I was unprepared for what I saw because not much happened. I watched him walk over to the circle. He closed his eyes in silent reverence, and then he turned his back to me and became motionless for a period of only minutes. And he walked back over to me and said, let's go, I'm thirsty. Let's go get something to drink. And I said, well, I thought we were going to do this prayer for rain. He said, well, I just did. And I said, that's not what I was expecting. And he said, well, what were you expecting? And I shared with him, and he laughed at me. And he said, first of all, let me explain something. He said, the moment you pray for rain, you have just promised it will never happen. And I thought about his words. With a little model, this eloquent little model that we just finished, now think about it. If we're praying for rain, and that prayer is a thought, feeling, and emotion, what is the thought under praying for rain? The thought is, there isn't any. The emotion, is it fear or is it love? Well, if there is no rain, your crops are dying, your animals are dehydrating, there's no fish in the lakes, good chance you're in fear. So the union of the fear of not having any with the thought there's not enough is the feeling that says we're in lack, and that is the template that would be placed into the world promising there wouldn't be any rain. And he corrected me lovingly. He said, I didn't pray for rain, I prayed rain. And I said, what does that mean? He said, I simply went over to the field a few steps away from you. I took my shoes off. He said, I closed my eyes and I had the feeling of what it feels like to have my feet in the soggy mud of my home and the land outside of my house, to feel that mud ooze through my toes. He said, I felt the smell of rain coming off of the mud walls of our pueblos in the springtime. I felt what it would feel like to walk through waist-high corn this time of the year, as it should be, so that we would have our crops. I smelled those smells, I felt the feelings, and I knew in that moment that I had just created that, and that became my prayer. Now, what he was saying, this is key, it's subtle and it's key. What he said was that he was taught in his conditioning to acknowledge the power of his thought, feeling, and emotion. It's what we call faith. Faith has a very different definition today than it does in those indigenous traditions. Of the many ways that faith may be defined, what we could say is that faith is acknowledging our power as a directive, potent force in the scheme of creation, rather than simply an observer witnessing, that we are part of creation. What that means is the moment you think, feel, and emote something, you just created it. Now, maybe it didn't happen right in front of your face. Maybe it didn't happen even on the horizon where you can see it, and that's not important, because in your faith, you trust your power and your wisdom and the gift that lives within you, and you know that on some level, somewhere in creation, the seed was planted that will allow that to come to fruition, and now the prayer becomes a prayer of thanks for what you just created, even if you can't see it. And that was what he did. That's why it only took a couple of moments. He had the feelings, the thoughts, and the emotions. He knew that he had created something. Then he gave the prayer of thanks, and he did many times throughout the rest of that day. He gave reverent thanks to the forces of this world, to the creation, for allowing him the gift of creation and allowing what it was that he believed he created. Well, we said goodbye that day and went home that night. Something very interesting happened. That night, a storm came into northern New Mexico. It was a freak weather pattern where this mass of warm, humid air came up out of the Gulf and touched a cold air mass coming in over the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, and they had more rain than they knew what to do with. And I watched on the weather map. It was amazing. Whether his prayer actually created that effect or not, I cannot say scientifically. What I can say is that story beautifully illustrates the concept, maybe in a more concrete manner, that I'm offering. How many times have we prayed for things? Is it possible in praying for them that we have actually participated in the not having of them? We embody a sophisticated technology, and according to the ancient Essenes, it's in this lifetime we learn to think the thoughts of angels and to do as angels do. They reference the angels as the highly evolved life forms that have transcended this world and live in other worlds. In their wisdom, they were able to transcend. Was it possible that there is another technology available to us as this fifth mode of prayer?